Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf mem aleph. We're holding on the fifth line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, Hoye lefonav minim harbe. Now, what is this referring to? So we should go back for a short moment to the Mishnah back on mem amid beis. The Mishnah over here on mem amid beis says that we have a machloikis. Look at the tail end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the amid beis, mem amid beis, is about almost halfway down the wide lines. And the third line of the Mishnah says, second line says, Hoyu lefonav minim harbe. What happens if you had many foods in front of you? Rabbi Yehuda Omer im yesh beineyem min shiva olav hu mevarech. If one of them happens to be from the shiva taminim shenishtabchu behen eretz Yisrael, make a brach on that one. Chachamim Omer mevarech al ezim hen shiirtza. You have a choice. You can go and do whichever one you want. So let's give a practical example. The Parsha Pshat in the Mishnah is talking about if you have, for instance, two fruits. One happens to be an apple, and the other happens to be a grape. You happen to love apples much more than you love grapes. Whether that is a smart thing or not a smart thing is really not a matter of debate. B'tam v'reach ein lehitzvakech. Everybody has their own preferences. So the question is, I got to make a bayir priya eitz to eat the apple and the grapes. On which one should I make the bayir priya eitz? Should I make it on the apple? Should I make it on the grape? Anybody has any views on this matter? Anybody would like to go and take a vote? Oh, so the Zubit says, that's what we just spoke about. Mr. Friedlander says, that's the machlokes in our Mishnah. Exactly. Rav Zinir, do you agree? Our Pishnaim, Ushloisha, Aydin, Yukum Zubit, it's everybody agrees unanimously that it's a machlokes. That according to Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah, since one of the two is one of the Shiva Saminim, which one of them? Is it the apples or the grapes? The grapes, exactly. Eretz chitas oira, gefen to eina barimah. Gefen, of course, is grapes. Good. So you have to make a bracha on the grapes. Apples is not mentioned anywhere in the eretz chitas oira. Mashenkin, the Rabbanim say, it depends. If you happen to like apples better than grapes, then you can make a bracha on the apple. So you have a machlokes in our Mishnah. Fine. What happens, however, if you have two separate minim? For instance, the Gemara is going to give an example in a moment about tznoin. Tznoin is radish. And you have together with the radish, you have, for instance, grapes. Which one should you make? Or the Gemara actually gives an example of olives. Makes it really no difference. Olives and grapes are both from the Shiva Saminim. So the question over here, there's already two different brachas. The radish is a bayre pri ha dama. And then when you're talking about the zaysim, the olives, that's a bayre pri ha eight. Which one do you make first? Is that also a machloikis in our Mishnah or not? And that's what we're going to focus on for the first part of today's blot. Jolti Gemara Amar Ula. Says Ula machloikis, the machloikis in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is Bishabir Chosei and Shavais. When the bracha on the apples and the bracha on the grapes is exactly the same. The Buddha Savar Min Shiva Adif. Since the grapes are part of the Shivas HaMinim Shnishtabchu Behen Eretz Yisrael, that's the better one to make the bracha on.
Also, Adif is preferred.
Rabbanan Sabri Min Chaviv Adif. The one that he likes better, that's the one that is preferable. What's this Svara over here? The Svara is a person is saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, thank you Hashem for giving me my food. If there happens to be a food which is tastier than the other, say the Chachamim, that's the one that you're really being Mishapeh Hashem. Thank you. Maila on the grapes. Sour grapes. But I love apples. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the apples. Mashenka Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't look at your personal preference. I look at the inherent nature of these fruits. The fact that the grapes is one of the Shivas HaMinim, it gives it so much Chashivus that that's the one that you should make the Bracha on. So that's where the Machlokes says, Abishain Bechasein Shalit. In a case where the Brachas are different, we mentioned before the tznoin and the zayas, the radish and the olive. In such a case, divri hakoyl, mevorech hazeh, v'choyz mevorech hazeh. Since you have to make two brachos anyway, one a bayir priya eitz and one a bayir priya dama, it makes no difference which order. You can say the tznoin first, you can do the zayas first. Even though the zayas happens to be one of the seven minim, makes no difference. You can go and make a bracha first on the tznoin, first on the zayas. Rashi says, but 1 second. After all, tznoin is radish, it's a bore pri adama. And we said in our Mishnah that if you make on a bore pri ha'etz, by mistake, you make a bore pri adama, your yoitzah. So maybe you shouldn't make a bracha on the tznoin, because or maybe forget, maybe you should make a bruch on the tznoyim so that it'll be motzi not only the tznoyim but also the zayis, because they're both priya by priya dama. Says Rashi, no. That din that you can be yotzei a priya eight with a bayir priya dama is only a bidyevit. But we're not going to say lechatchila, yeah, go make on the tznoyim and be motzi the zayis. That we're not going to do. It's only bidyevit if you did it by mistake. Anyway, so bottom line, it says ula. It's the two different brachas. It's a free country. You can go and make a bracha on this one or on that one, whichever you prefer. Bring to my maitre. Okay, the person had a radish and he had an olive. Says the braita very clearly, make a bracha on the tznoyin. You're going to make a bayir priha dharma. And with that, you'll pass the zayis as well. 1 second, you just said a moment ago that if ein birchosei hen shavos, if the brachas are different, then dibri akol, everybody agrees that you have full discretion. You can go make a brach on the tanoim, you can make a brach on the zayis, whichever one you want. Yet the brach is very, very clear. And the brach says, no. If you got a tanoim, the zayis, the tanoim comes first.
So the whole shir minim fell off.
Well, the Zayis is also one of the Shivim Minim.
Right, so that fell off the importance?
Not that it falls away in importance. If both of the food items both have the same bracha, and one of them happens to be from the Shiva Saminim, then, says Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, make sure you make the bracha on the Shiva Saminim. However, if one of the Shiva Saminim and something else which is a different bracha altogether, then those rules of Shiva Saminim preference fall away. So your question was, you don't care about Shibbos Aminim anymore? We do. When Brichoy say in Shabbos, when the bracha is the same. If the bracha is different, says Ula, all options are available to
us. Adam has more preference than
the eight? No. Whichever way you want. If you prefer the Adama first, Zimtai. Prefer the Brichoy eight first, Zimtai. There's no longer any preference of choosing Dafka from the Shibbos Aminim. Now, if you're wondering why is that, why does that fall away? Because the halacha of Ula is, remember we're talking about a situation only making one bracha, in Bichosei and Shabbos. The question is, which one should you make the bracha on? Says Ula, says our Mishnah, we have a machloikis of Yehuda and the Chacham. Says of Yehuda, Shivas Aminim, and the Chacham say, whichever you prefer. Here we're talking about a case where you have two different brachas. So then in this case, says Ula, Rabbi Yehuda no longer insists on Shivas Aminim, because you're going to have to make, in his mind, according to the Ula, you're going to have to make two brachas anyway. There's no choice. It's two separate meaning, two separate brachas. You got to make two brachas. So whichever bracha you make first, really doesn't make a difference. You can make the Adama first, you can make the Eitz first. It's all the same. It says now, however, the Braisa, that if you have Tznoyim desires or Adama and Ho'eitz, what are you supposed to do? Make a bracha Ho'adama on the radish, and with that you'll point to the desires, because B'diavad, Azayis is also Bayer Pri Adama. So do it that way. But that's directly against what Ula just said. Ula said when you have Tznoyim Azayis, it's Ini, Mini, Mini, Mo. You like Tznoyim, make Adama. You like Zayis, make Bayer Pri Eitz. Whichever way. And here the Bryce says, no. Every Mahacham Ayiskin, in the case of the Bryce, it's talking about a very special situation. Kisha Tznoyim Iker, that the person only really wants to eat the radish. He doesn't need the Zayis at all. The reason why he's eating the zayis, says Rashi, is because tznoyim, being a radish, being somewhat sharp, he doesn't want to leave that sharp taste in his mouth, so he wants to go and put a zayis in, almost like a shtikl kompot, to now sweeten up his mouth after he ate something which was so sharp. But really and truly, he's not interested in olives. He's really interested in having radishes. This is just a kind of, to lehofig chorfei shul tznoyim, to go and take away that sting of the sharpness of the tznoyim. It comes to chayis, so then the ikar is the tznoyim, and the zayis is the tofel, so you make a bracha on the tznoyim. So that's very simple. Feitimura, well, it's not so simple. Yehochi eim sefer, let's go back to that same braisa. Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda oim mevorech al azayish, azayish mimin shiva. Oh, your svara, remember that Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, not only does Rabbi Yehuda say his halacha of making the bracha on the shiva saminim, when you're making only one bracha, and therefore it's apples together with grapes, make the bracha on the grapes, Shivas Aminim. But even if there are different brachas, such as our tznoyim v'zayis, says Rabbi Yehuda, make the bracha on the zayis, because the zayis have to be the shivas aminim. But you just said now that this price is talking about a case where the tsunoin is ikr. The tsunoin, that's the real thing that he wanted to eat. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda also agree to the famous rule that kolshu ikr, the imoit feiler, when you have one food item which is the ikr, that's the real mekoy, that's the one he really wants to eat. And the other thing just happens to be a tofu. For instance, if you're eating crackers with a dip, so presumably you want to eat the crackers, but you want them to be a little sweeter, a little more bitter, or a little bit more tasty. So you put it into hummus, you put it into tchina, you put it into baba ganoush, you put it into this, into that. So the ikr is the crackers, and you don't have to make a brocha on the tzela. Doesn't he agree with that? Mevorach al ikr, point is a tzela. So if that's the case, the Gemara assumes that that's universal, that everybody agrees to that. So if Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that, if the Brice is talking about a case where the tznoin is the ikr and the zayis is the tafel, certainly Rabbi Yehuda should agree. Make a bracha on the tznoin and be moitzi the zayis because the tznoin is the ikr. So he's saying, Machanam de Lefra, you're going to tell me, maybe Taka Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And even in the case of ikr and tzela, he holds that you make a bracha on both. Pray to Morbatan, you talk to a Brice, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. If the only reason why you're eating the zayis is because of the tznoin, to be able to remove some the sharp edge of that tznoin, if that's the case, Zoshar B'Yehuda Mavorech al the tznoin upoiter sazayis, make a bracha only on the tznoin, because that's the ikr. The only reason why he's eating the zayis is to dull a little bit of that sharp taste, that sharp edge of the radish. So in Bazoi, I see very clearly that the Yehuda agrees in a case of Iker V'Tafel. So we're saying that that applies across the board to all foods, that if you have two food items, one is the main and one is the main. For instance, if a person is eating a piece of chicken and he eats together with it a pickle, he wouldn't normally eat pickles on their own. He's only eating the pickle to go and give a little bit more relish or more time to the chicken. So then it's Tafel to the chicken. Some people, of course, that eat pickles and they only eat a little piece of chicken to go and give a little bit of time to the pickles. You know, everybody's different. So, but if normally this person wouldn't eat pickles, but he loves chicken, and he eats the pickles, he's going to, you know, make it a little bit more tasty. Sure, you don't have to make a special adama on the pickles because the ikr is the chicken and the pickles is only the toughest.
I have a question.
Yes, Nandi.
Let's say you have pulpitus and horseradish. Then horseradish is just a bottle to the
fish.
The pickle and chicken, two separate items.
Right.
And it's covered acre. I think it's bottle constant the chicken.
Anyway, halacha l'maisa speaks to a competent Orthodox rabbi. But I believe if you speak to a competent rabbi, and if he
tells.
Mendy said, for instance, the garlic and filter fish and horseradish.
But it's
tangible. Yeah, it's tangible. People eat horseradish. I know people in Passover, they would never pass over the horseradish. They would eat. They eat it. Yeah, anyway, good point. But getting back to our Gemara now. But speak to the rabbis and find out what they say. So getting back to our Gemara, says, Zokti Mor Yetzazay. So Lemaisa, what's the story? If we go back originally to the first vart of Ula. Ula said that if the brachos are different, you can make whatever sequence you want. You can say the bracha first on the tzayin, or off on zayis. You don't hold the dinim of shiva saminim, of shenishtav chobahen eretz yisra. Because we just brought a brisa where there's in fact a machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda about this very issue. Where the Tanakam said, Tznoin the Zayas, Mavorach ala Tznoin, Upoiter is a Zayas. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, no, no. You gotta go after the Shiva Saminim. See, Mora wants to say so much Tznoin Iker, but if Tznoin Iker, then Rabbi Yehuda also should agree. Only make a bracha on the Tznoin, don't make a bracha on the Zayas. We go back to the original teretz, the taka, this brice is only talking about tznoin. But tznoin was the ikr, that's what he wanted to eat, just the radish. And Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanu's machloikis is back like we had in the Mishnah, where b'chosei and shavos, where the bracha is the same. We have to expand on this brice considerably, and now restructure the whole brice and the machloikis. And we start the price again. You have in front of you a radish, which is supposed to make ladon, and a zayis, which is supposed to make a very pre-eight. Only make a bracha on the tznoin and don't make a bracha on the zayis. Why? Because the medvar mum, we're talking about a kesher tznoin eker. Because you only really wanted the radish. You didn't want the zayis. You only took the zayis, a kind of dully, sharp edge of the tznoin, of the radish. What happens if the tznoin is not the main, but you like both eating radishes and zaysim and olives? To be a koil, then everybody would agree, like Ula said, mevorech al zeh, v'choiz mevorech al zeh. You can go... Exactly. Well, we're going to see the new debate is going to be in another month. So therefore, mevorech al zeh, which means you can make a bracha in either order. You can make a hadama first on the tznoin, and a eitz on the zayis, or you can make a eitz on the zayis, and you make a hadama on the tznoin. What about nishtabchu ben eretz Yisrael? That's only when it's the same bracha. You have to make one Bayer Priya Eitz. Which one should you make it on? Says Rabbi Yehuda, go and make it on Eretz Yisrael. But if you've got to make two brachas anyway, either order, it doesn't make a difference. You can make Adama first, you make a Adama second. Makes no difference. However, Shnei Minim Ba'alma, Shibachosei and Shavois, what happens if you have Taka two with the same bracha, your apple and your grapes? Mavorech al Eizim and Sheyirta, says the Rabbanan of our Mishnah and the Tanakama of the Spreiser, you can make a bracha either on the apples or on the grapes. It makes no difference whichever one you prefer, whichever one is chaviv. What have you done? Mavorech al Zayis. No, you should always make a bracha on the Zayis first. Not first, only on the Zayis. Shazayis mimin Shiva, because Zayis happens to be one of the Shiva Minim. So what we've done is, we had originally a Ulis Halacha, we asked the Kasha from a Braisa, and we have answered the Kasha by saying that we have to modify this Braisa fairly considerably so that it's now word for word, like Ula said at the top, that the Machloikis is only when the Bracha on the two items is exactly the same. Says Navi Gemara, what Ula took for granted is in fact a Machloikis between the Amirai. Pligi ba Rebani v'Reb Yifrit Nafra. Chad Oma Machloikis Bishop Rechoisein Shavoit. One says that the machloikis is when the brachas are the same. The Yehuda Sovar min shiva odiv. Always take from the min shenishtabchum in Eretz Yisrael. In the case of the apples and the grapes, make a bracha on the grape. Rabbanan Sovar min chaviv odiv. No, make a bracha on the one that you like better. And if you like apples better, make a bracha on the apples. Abish Ein Brachay Sein Shabbos says the brachas are different. You can do whichever order you want, just like Ula said at the top of the Amud. However, the Chad Oma, the other man, the Oma says, I respectfully disagree. Even if the brachas are different, Nami Machloikis is still a Machloikis between them. And therefore, we have the same Machloikis where Rabbi Yehuda would say, since one of the two is a Zayis, you make a bracha on the Zayis, even though ultimately you're going to make a bracha on the tonight. But you have to go and give precedence and preference to that min shenishtabchu behen Eretz Yisrael. Well, again, the Rabbanan say, makes no difference. Whichever you like better, make that bracha. Says Yimar. According to Ula, and according to the first of these two mandiyam, that says the machloikis is only in the case where the brachas are exactly the same. Shaper, I can understand the machloikis, because after all, you're only going to make one bracha, gesundheit. The question is, which one should you make the bracha on? That's the machloikis. Is Eretz Yisrael more choshev, or chavivis more choshev for purposes of the bracha? And the mandiyam b'shem b'chasein shavuz, according to mandiyam that says that even in the case where the brachas are different, pligi, there too is the machloikis, but my pligi. So what's the machloikis over there? You're going to make both brachas anyway, both on the tznoin and on the zayis, both the hadama and the ha'etz. Who cares whether you make the hadama first or the ha'etz first? Amrabiyemia lehaktim. The nafkimina would be lehaktim, which gets preference after all. Good. The Hakta means that our case of our Mishnah is talking about you only have to make one bracha, the Bar Priya. The question is, on which one should you make it? That's fine. However, the Gemara is saying now, if you hold that the Machlokes is, even is, B'she'ein B'chosein Shavai, So therefore, you're going to have to make two brachos anyway. So who says that there is any preference of one over the other? Anyway, I'm going to go and say to Hashem within the next minute or two, Bayer Priya Eitz to Bayer Priya Dhamma. Who says there's a difference if you have Bayer Priya Eitz first or Bayer Priya Dhamma first? What difference does it make? When you're only going to make one bracha, then prefer the grapes over the apple. That I understand. Shiva's meaning. Or I like it better, the apple or the grapes. But I'm going to have to make two brachas anyway. Does it really make a difference if I make the Adama first or Eitz first or Eitz first or Adama first? It's the same. That's the Gemara's kasha. On Rabbi Yirmiyahu, you know, there is a difference. Lahaktim, that even in the case of two brachas, which one should go? One, you still have a machlokes. Do you make bracha on this first and the other one second, or the other one first and this one second? Now the question is, does it really make a difference? Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Om Rav Yosef, the same Rav Yitzchak, or Rav Yosef or Rav Yitzchak say, Kol ha-muktim be-pasuk zeh muktim le-bracha. Whichever one comes earlier in the following pasuk, that's the one you have to make a bracha on first. In other words, even if you're making two brachas, whichever one comes first in this bracha, you got to make first. Shanem. Eretz chitzis oyre gefen teine verimain eretz zeh shemen u-dvash, says Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak. The fact that there is an order in this pasuk, chitzis oyre come first, and then gefen teine, any one of these meanim, you have to, so lemashal, what happens if you have on the table, slightly, so what happens if you have a gefen and teine, you have both an olive, not an olive, you have both a grape, gefen, grape, and teine, and a fig, which one do you have to make a bracha on first, if you have two of them together, says Rabbi Yitzchak or Rabbi Yosef, you have to make on the gefen first. Why, they're both from the Shivas Haminim Shinishdabcha Ben Eretz Yisrael, but the Pasuk is telling us a din kedima. Kedima means the order of preference when you're making a bracha. The order of preference is gefen comes before Te'ena. Te'ena comes before Rimon. Rimon comes before Zayis. Zayis comes before Tvash, which is Tmar. You gotta go in order. One second. I'm trying to prove that even if the brachas are different, you have to have an order of preference. Here, the brachas are all the same. The Gevin, Te'ena, Rimon, Zay, Shem, and Advash, they're all Peirot. They're all Bayer Priya Eitz. How are you proving from this pasuk that even Kishe'ein, Birchoisei, and Shabbos, where the brachas are different, that there's also an order that you have to reckon with? Yishon Limafarshim. Because the Chita Se'oira, we normally think of as Hamoitzi. But we have before in our Gemara, what happens if a person eats raw chitim or raw sa'irim, what the Gemara calls a koiseis, he's chosen. What bracha do you make? Ho adama. Oh, so we see from this halacha, from Rabbi Yosef, same Rabbi Yitzchak, you have adama on the chita or the sa'irim, and you have the ho'eitz of the gefen u'te'ena. Which should you make first? Says Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, go in the order of the pasuk. If ho adama, if you're eating, dos v'chitim, even though you're eating chitzah to'ira, so gefut gefen te'ena, make a bracha adama first, and then you make ha'etz on the others. Ah, so we see that there is in fact magic to the order of the brachas that you are making. And this would be a raya, not like Ula, but like the other man, the Yomar, that according to Behuda, it is also a din of preference and precedent. Exactly, machlokes is not only when the brachas are the same, but even if the brachas are different, which one should go first? I have an order. If you're eating chitzas oyer together with gefen te'ena, chitzas oyer comes first, gefen te'ena second. Say the Rabbanan, I respectfully disagree. I do not hold of order. Why don't they hold of order? Because the chamim hold upligi the Rabbanan. They hold like Rabbanan that the purpose of this pasuk is not to go and give you a structure of order of preference and precedence, but to tell you other dinim totally. What are the other dinim? The Amr Rabbanan. This whole pasuk is coming to tell us the shiurin that we have by various mitzvahs and by various dinim of tumah v'tahara, by various averes. And the Gemara goes through each one. What's the chita? The amount. What happens to the first?
The amount.
Oh, so you're going to see what we mean the amount. So don't be noisy. We're going to see. Hanichus abayit hamanuga. The person goes into a house of negatzeras. Negatzeras means a contaminated house. It's contaminated because it has these spots on the wall, adhesions, lesions, whatever. They're not what we popularly refer to them as leprosy, but they're not really leprosy. There's a special spiritual spot that Kodesh Baruch Hu puts on the walls of a home where Chas V'Shalom these people are sinners. Okay, anybody that goes into that bayis, habo el bayis, yitma ad arav, he becomes tamei. Now, the pasuk doesn't refer, however, to kibbutz begodim. Kibbutz begodim means, what about to his begodim also become tameh? Do you have to, gesundheit, do you have to put them in the mikvah, or only the person himself becomes tameh? There's a couple of psukim that Rashi brings, but the bottom line is, says the Gemara, it depends on how the begodim came in. Hanichus habayis menuzah, a person, Yanko, walked into a house of tzaras. The kelev al kseifav, and he's carrying with him various kelev, on his ktefayim, on his shoulders, the sandal of the taboisa biyodav, and he's carrying his sandals and his rings in his hands. In other words, he's not wearing the sandals, he's carrying them. Like you see people sometimes here on the west side walking down the street barefoot and they're carrying their shoes. Very, very intelligent people. The taboisa, and they are holding the rings in their hands and not on their fingers, they're just holding it. What's the din? Hu vehein tmei miyad. As soon as they walk into the house, since it's a bias of neged tzaras, everything becomes tummy immediately. The person, together with the kelim, together with the sandals, together with the rings, everything tummy miyat. However, a lavish kelim, what happens if he's wearing his kelim, meaning he's wearing his clothing, the sandal of beraglav and his sandals he's wearing on his feet, the tavois of the etzboisav, and he's wearing his ring on his fingers, who tummy miyat, he becomes tummy because he walks into the house, behein tohoir, but they remain tohoir, achiyisha bechtei achilas pras, unless he sticks around in this house for a few minutes. How do we measure those minutes? The amount of time that it takes to eat a half of a loaf of bread, which is a bread which is paschitin, bread made out of wheat flour, v'loi pasta oidim, not made out of barley flour, because wheat flour you can chew and you can digest more quickly than the barley flour, which is more coarse. And it's so massive that he's having a leisurely time that he's lying down, the heseba, like we say in the Haggadah, that kolayim misubin, that he's doing a beseba. The reason why beseba means that he has no other interest in the world. He's not looking at his iPhone. He doesn't have to worry about who's going to get impeached. He doesn't have to worry about who's winning in Iowa or in New Hampshire. No worries at all. The only thing he's concerned about is understanding the daf. So therefore, he's eating very, very leisurely and easily, but he's able to go and put it into some sort of relish. That is the amount of time that if he doesn't have to eat anything, but the amount of time that it takes for a person to go and eat a half a loaf of wheat bread dipped into relish whilst he's lying down, let's assume that that takes 5 minutes. If he stays around in the Bais HaMenugah for 5 minutes, then all of his kelim, all of his begadim and his sandals and his ring, all of them become tamei. Anyway, the point of all of this is that the pasuk is telling us that why do I need the word chita? It comes to tell us the shiur of a bayis hamenuga that a person enters whilst he is wearing his clothing. When do the clothing also become tamei that you have to immerse them in a mikvah? Only if he sticks around for this zman of the achilas pras of chitin. How long is that? The Mepharshim say it's a machlokes between roughly 3 and 9 minutes. So don't stick around too long, because eventually they're going to become tummy. Yes?
Why is it that it takes longer to eat than kibbutz? Why is it longer than kibbutz?
If you, I'm sure you've eaten in your life different types of bread. So if you have a nice, soft challah bread, or if you have a pumpernickel type of bread, which can you usually chew more quickly? A soft challah bread, which is nice with
it. It depends which I like more.
Not only question.
Like,
yeah, but it's thicker.
Because barley is a very coarse bread. That's
true.
Coarse grain. Definitely.
If you're don't compare it with other types of bread. If you compare it to a piece of a meat, you have a piece of roast beef.
Yeah.
And roast beef, sometimes you got to chew and chew and chew until you can, right? Or by the bread, you go and eat it. It goes down pretty quickly. Yeah. Just a cup of juice. Sometimes the roast beef, you got to run in special. Right. So this coarse bread takes longer to chew. That's the mitzvah. Anyway, so that's why we have chita to tell us that's it. What do we do with the din of Sa'ira? Sa'ira comes to tell us a different shiur. That non etzim ki Sa'ira mitamer b'magul b'masav einu mitamer b'oy. If chas v'shalom rachmon l'slan, a person passed away, and now you have nebuch a mess, it's really a mess for many reasons. So if you touch that mess, you mitamer b'magul b'masav and b'oy. What happens if you don't have the entire mess? You only have atzamos. Atzamos means you have bones of a mess. So if you have Roiv Minyan or Roiv Binyan, meaning everybody has 240 Avarim. What's Roiv of 248? 125, right? Because 2 times 125 is 250, and since the person has 248, so the majority is 125. So you have 125 bones of that individual, or you have Roy's Binyan, most of the skeletal remains. What's the deal? What skeletal remains? It means Roy Sheva Rubai, his skull, and Nebuch, the spinal cord and the ribs, the whole business. That's Metame, even the oil. However, if you only have one or two bones, it's not Metame the oil, but it's Metame the Magomach. Means if you touch the bone, or if you lift the bone, carry the bone, then the boys don't get carried away, make no bones about it. It makes a difference whether you have a bone. So now the question is, how large is the bone that's Metame the Magomach? I learned from the Pusik Eretritus Oira that it has to be a shear of a barley corn. If the etzem is kisoira or more, metame the magu the masa, but not metame the oil, unless you have roiv minion roiv big. So that's what we learned from Sayyid. So let's go on.
Barley corn is tiny.
Barley corn is very tiny. Now we go on to Geffen. What's the shear of Geffen? Kidei revius yayim venuzet. We know that Nozer is not allowed to go and drink wine, grape juice. He's not allowed to eat grapes or chatzan and the adzog. Chatzan and the adzog means the kendlich. Kendlich means the seeds, the pits inside the grapes. If the nozer eats those pits, it's really pits. He has now violated his nazir. It's terrible. He's an oiver and it's in the fighter. Or if he eats the zog. Zog means the outer shell, the outer peel, skin, and certainly if he eats the grapes themselves. All of that is an iser for the nozer. Now the question is, what's the shear? Under normal circumstances, when we're talking about solids, the shear is always a kezayis, tiakibayah. When you're talking about liquids, the shear is a revius. When it comes to nozir, we have something which is really extraordinary, that even the shear of the solids is a shear of a revius. Now, a revius, by definition, is a liquid quantity. How can you go and talk about solids having a shear of a liquid? So Rashi tells us, the displacement, you go and take a cup like this, and you fill it at the top with wine. Wine. And then what you do is you go and take a bunch of grapes and you put one at a time. One. It's going to overflow. And by the time when you get a revius which is overflowed, your revius is a mushroom 4 or 5 ounces, whatever shear is, fine. Now you know that if you take out those grapes now and you eat that amount, the grapes, the grape seeds, the grape peels, that will be the shear of revius, the displacement that you put. So why do you have to talk about wine? Why don't you just talk about water, that you put it into the water and the water flowed up? Because of viscosity. Viscosity is a very fancy term. It means the density of the wine. So Rashi explains, or of the water. So Rashi explains, because since the wine is that much thicker, it's not going to spill over so quickly. In fact, you can try this out every Friday night and Shabbos day when you're filling up your Kiddush cup. Notice that even if you go beyond the rim, it'll still stay. It won't automatically flow over. That's all because of the viscosity of the wine. However, if you fill it up with water, as soon as you drop over, the whole thing falls over. Therefore, says Rashi, when you're talking about the displacement, we're talking about displacement of wine and not the displacement of water. So that's what the Geffen comes to take. Next case is Te'ena, is Kegroigris, or it's Shabbos. On Shabbos, as we know, if there's no Eidav, you're not allowed to carry outside. When are you going to be Oiver? Not if you take one feather, it has to be a Pashtikal Dobra Choshev. So if you're talking about food items, the amount has to be Kegroigris. Kegroigris is a dried fig, which, as you know, is very small. For those of you that ate figs now on Chamish Usa, you know, a fig is quite small. Anyway, so the point is, if you are moitzi, if you carried outside a food item which had the size of this dried out fig, like for Shabbos, Chas Shalom, you're over on the din of Hilchah Shabbos. That's the din of a Taita. And now we go to a remind. What is a remind? Kid it not. Remind, of course, is a pomegranate. What's the din? Called clay, balibatim, shi'uran, be'kirimayim. What does that mean? What happens if you have your clay? And your kli has become tameh. How did your kli become tameh? It touched a nevela. It touched a dead sheret. A balkeri. It was an oil mess. Whatever. It is tameh. Now, one of the ways of being metired, of course, is putting it into a mikveh. Unless it's a kli cheret. Kli cheret, you cannot be metired in a mikveh. But there's another way of being metired, and that is if the kli breaks. Because if it breaks, it's no longer a kli. So how do you break a kli? You don't have to necessarily throw it on the ground until it goes into smithereens. Rabbi Newman, you feel free to sit over here at the only if you want. It's up to you. Whatever you like. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us, what happens if you have a cleat that has in it a small hole? a kli with a small hole. Now, Baruch Hashem, today, people are more affluent than they were years ago. But nevertheless, even people that are affluent, very often, if they have a sentimental attachment to a particular saucer or a particular cup that was used by their great-great-great-grandmother, so then they want to continue and use it. Obviously, if you're going to talk about a cup and you're going to start pouring in tea and the whole thing is going to spill onto the table, it's going to be quite embarrassing. So you're not going to use this for a liquid, you'll use it for a salad. So what can you use this cup that has a small hole in it? You'll put in some berries or something like that. What happens if the hole starts getting larger and the berries no longer sit and the berries start falling out? So then you go and use it for something larger than that. You'll start using it for walnuts. What happens if the hole gets as big as a walnut? Uh-oh, then you're going to start using it for tangerines. What happens if the hole gets as large as the tangerine?
Oranges.
You're using it for oranges. What happens if it gets larger? Oranges. You're using it for watermelons, very too much.
Grapefruit.
So the point is, once it gets to the size of a remine, as we know, is like a large baseball, right? It's depending, of course, on the remine, but pomegranates can get quite large. Once the hole gets that large, the person says, great-grandmother had, but, you know, I can't keep on using this, it's just so embarrassing, and then he just tosses that kli away. So everybody would agree, once the hole gets as large as a remine, it's no longer tameh, and no longer it's no longer vulnerable and susceptible to tameh. If you look at the top, Rashi, we take a quick look at Rashi, shiurim the kerimoinim, says Rashi here at the top, the shear is like a pomegranate. If the hole is large enough that a remine will fall through, it's tar. Balibatim chosim al kalei. Your normal balabayit has rachmanis, he has mercy on his kli. He doesn't want to throw it out. Hilka nikiv kimoitzi kidneys. What happens if the hole is as large as a bean, like your chewing beans? The matzmiel is aysim, he now uses it for olives. What happens if the hole gets large and nikiv kimoitzi zayis? Mishtamish zayis, we use it for walnuts, he uses it for other types of nuts. Nikiv kimoitzi eggoit, mishtamish by remoin, he puts in the pomegranate. So therefore, but once he gets to the size of pomegranates, then it's all lost. He can't use this for anything. And you tell me you can put in watermelons. Most kalim are not large enough to put the watermelons in the first place. That's by balabatim. If it's used by a professional, for instance, if you're talking about a store seller who is in the business of selling kalim, you can't go and sell a kli that has holes in it. If you happen to be the seller in the store, I have a beautiful, beautiful vase over here. Only one small problem, it has a little hole. So make sure don't put any water in together with your roses, because it's all going to spill out. Nobody's going to buy it. So that's why the Gemara says that kli balabatin shiurim b'kiri mine. But if you're talking about an umman, a seller, even if it's a very, very small hole, it's already no longer going to be mekabel tuma because it's worthless. And we continue on the pasuk. Erzei Shem Nedvash. Omer Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. Eret Shekol Shiurea Kizayisim. It comes to tell you that all Shiurim in the Torah have the Shir of Kizayis. Freiti Mara, where have you been for the last 10 minutes? Kol Shiurea So Kizayitech Vo Ika Hanach Tiamaran. We just went through the Chita, which has to do with the Bayis HaManuga, and the Sa'ira, which has to do with the bones, and the Gefen, which has to do with the Nozir, and the Ta'ina, that has to do with Haytor Shabbat, and the Rima, that has to do with Tahara by Kalim. And you tell me everything is a Kedayat. We have all those other Shiurim. El Ve'eret Shiroim Shiurim Kedayatim. Other than those of which we previously enumerated, the Derech Klaus is in the Kedayat. So therefore, if you're eating a piece of Chazer flesh, you eat a piece of Kedayat. If you went and you ate Basa B'cholot, she is a Kedayat. If you want to be Yoytze, you din of Matzah and Pesach, eat a Kedayat. You want to go and bench according to one man, the Omar, it's a Kedayat. But derech klal, the shurim are big kizayis. What about the devash? Devash is tamarim, that means date. That's kikoisvis, agasa, b'yayim ha-kippurim. That comes to tell you that in Yom Kippur, if you want a chas v'sholem be over on kores, the eating intentionally on Kippur, you have to eat over. Of course, even if you eat a mashu, you're now going to do that. It's what we call chotishir is osir. Eat a midiraisa, midrabonan, but chotishir, even the smallest amount on Yom Kippur is osir. Of course it's osir. But when do you get kores? Only if you have to show the person eats kikoisis. Kikoisis means that's just another way of referring to a tamar, to a date, but not your regular date. It's got to be hagasa, a large date. What's the reason why here the shear is not a kizayit, but it's kikoisis hagasa? Says the Gemara in Masechus Yuma, and Rashi brings it over here too, because the Chacham said that gives a person a certain degree of satisfaction, a certain degree of, Baruch Hashem, I was able to eat something, you know, I was parched, I was famine, I was goodish. So you eat at least something, you felt that you have episodes, you get. A kezayis is so small you don't really feel it. The kois is you feel a little bit of satiation. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
So what is it about Eretz Shemen tells you it's talking about shearing?
The Eretz itself doesn't, but the Zayas, the Zay Shemen, the Zayas come to tell you the Shear, that Roy Shiurim are Pekazayas.
But what is it about Zay Shemen itself? It's talking about fruit. I mean.
The Zay Shemen in the Torah is referring to a fatty Zayas that has in it oil. But and that's where the Mishtabach Eretz Yisrael is saying they don't have these lousy dried out olives. They have shomeng, they have a olives which are full of oil, which you can squeeze them and use the oil for lighting and for heating and for eating and all the rest. So bottom line is, how do we get into this pasuk in the first place? We had a machoikis back on the Umid Aleph, whether the words in the pasuk Eretz Chitzas Oira are coming to tell us a din of Kedima, that when you're making two separate brachas, do you have to be maktim one bracha over the other, or there is really no order of preference or precedence? Or do you go and say, forget about the order, the purpose of this pasuk is just to go and enumerate all of the seven shiurim that we learned from the chitim, the soyd, and the gef, and tatev, and imayzei, shem, and udvash, just for shiur. So if you want to eat up, hani shiurim, what is the first man v'yama? That's Yosef, the same of Yitzchak, that says that the purpose of the pasuk is to tell you that order of preference. What is your precedence? What does he do with the seven shiurim? He says, "How does shiurim behedja miksivi?" None of those shiurim say the fairish in the Torah. If I read the pasuk Eretz Chitzas Oira Gef and Tainav Rimayin, I don't see anything having to do with a bayit hamenugan, having to do with an etzem kitzas oira, nozir by the vietsyain. I don't see any of that. Ella midravan. In our gemara it says midravan, but this same gemara appears in two other places, and there the gemara always says it's halacha l'moishem Sinai. Now these shiurim are halacha l'moishem Sinai. Ukran, the pasuk is only asmach to Balma. In other words, the real kavan of the pasuk is not to tell you shurim. That I know from another source, whether it's rabbinical, whether it's midrabanan, or whether it's halacha Moshe Sinai, but it's not based on this pasuk. This pasuk is just an allusion. If you're looking at the pasuk, I'll tell you, chita alludes to that other din of the Hais Menuga, and the Seuder alludes to the din of bones, but really has nothing to do with the real pshat in the pasuk. The real pshat in the pasuk is to tell you the hakdama, the order of preference and precedence when you're making a bracha.
Now, the two brachas that were used as an example in the example was bird per ape.
And a bird per ape.
Does it matter if the two are shakal and...
based on our sugi, it doesn't matter. No, based on our sugi, it wouldn't make a difference.
Okay.
Rav Chizkiya and Rav Nuna were sitting together, the Suda Ein of the Kamayu, and they brought in front of them Tamri Virimai, Tamarim, which are dates, Rimayim are pomegranates. Now, let's think about this for a moment. If you go back to the Pasuk, and the Gemara quotes the Pasuk back on the Amud Aleph, you have the Eretz Chitzas Oira Gef and Tainav Rimayim, Eretz Zei Shem Nevash. For those of us that are benefit, have the benefit of these beautiful Tamaris from the Torah Ara Shalom, you even have the Pasuk here on the Amud Beis in small letters here on the left-hand side. So now, which of the two come first in the pasuk? We have over here both a tamar and we have a rimayim, right? That's what they gave. They gave them to tamarim and rimayim. So if we look at the pasuk, tamar is all the way at the end, because dvash, which is the honey, is not dvash of bees, it's dvash of tamarim. So tamarim are the very, very final one. Well, rimayim is number five. Chita is one, sa'ira is two, Gefen is three, Te'ena is four, Rimayim is five, and then Zayas and the Tamarim is six and seven. So the Chayit, if you have a Rimayim and you have a Tamar, and you say that you have to go in order of precedence in the Pasuk, which one should you make a bracha on first? Which one would you make a bracha on first? On the Rimayim or on the Tamar? Rimayim is number five, Tamar is number seven. Which goes first, five or seven?
The Rimayim.
The Rimayim should go first. And guess what this person did?
The Tamar.
The Tamar. No, what's going on over here? Zokim Rav Chizkiya Rav Nuna Haviyasu Sudasa Aisla Kamayi Tamri Verimayni Shokar Rav Nuna Baruch A Tamri Vereishi made a bracha on the Tamar on the day. Amli Rav Chizkiya Lefilei Malbi Hodi Om Rav Yosef Yisemin Rav Yitzchak Kalam Uptim Bepasik Zeh Koydum Bracha. Don't you hold that you're supposed to go in the order of preference set forth in the Torah, that one goes before two and two goes before three, and so therefore five goes before seven? Shouldn't have you made a bracha first on the Rimayim and only afterwards on the Tamar? You wouldn't have to make a second bracha, but shouldn't you have made a bracha on the Tamar and be motzi with that
on the Rimayim?
I'm sorry, on the Rimayim and be motzi the Tamar. You say Shkayach from the end. You're doing a beautiful job. Amalei, so he told them, you're right in concept, but you made one mistake. That is a jeshing. The Oretz is a chamishi la'aretz. What does he mean? Notice this pasuk It says Eretz twice. Eretz Chitzis Eretz Gevin Shein of Rimei, and then Eretz Shemel Udvash. And the question is, why is the word Eretz repeated twice? Eretz is repeated twice to tell you that we start again with a brand new count, and therefore Chitzis Eretz Gevin Shein of Rimei is 1, 2, 3, 4 height. And then we get to Zay Shemel Udvash. It's not 6 and 7, but it's 1 and 2. If it's 1 and 2, now I'm dealing with Rimei, which is number 5. Dvash Tamarim is number 2. 2 comes before 5. That's why I made a bracha first on the Tamarim, to be Moiti the Rimei. That's what he answered. It's so interesting that the other person responded and said to him, Oh Malay, it's so beautiful what you just said. Mayav lon nagri de parzula v'nashmi inach. Halavai, we would have feet made out of barzel, made out of iron, so that we should be able to go and follow you and be able to be mishamish you and hear all the Torah you have to say. Because if we don't have feet of iron, we might become weary and tired of following you and listening your shiurim. Halavai, we would have that full koyach to always be able to follow you because you say such beautiful, fascinating, different Torah. And Taka, that's what you're supposed to do. Number 2 comes before number 5. Why do you need the other Eretz? It should just simply say Eretz Chitzis Eretz Gev and Tainer Remind Zay Shem Udvash. That second Eretz says this man the Yom has come to tell you that you start your count afresh. You don't count 6 and 7, but you start 1 and 2. I'm sorry?
Is there a reason
for why Kodesh Baruch Hu did it? You have to put that in a special Kodesh Baruch Hu mailbox or send it up and next Shem you'll get your answer. What's the makor for Yosef? Same Rav Yitzchak. He's saying that the reason why these 7 are written in this order, Hashem Yisparach didn't just to haphazardly say, it doesn't make a difference. Kevin, Tainer, Remind, it's all just proof that there is specification, there's a precedent in each one of these words in their order, to tell you you're supposed to make a bracha in that order. So until now we understood 1 through 7. Now the chiddush is that you have in fact 2 orders. You have 1 through 5, and then you have 1 and 2 repeated again. According to this man the Yoma that made a bracha first on the Tamarim, before on the Rimonim, because he feels that you don't count 1 through 7, but you count 1 through 5 and then 1 and 2, and therefore the 2 goes before the 5, and therefore the other man the Yoma says, this is so beautiful. I wish you were my Rebbe at all times. Itmar. Hey, deal with name Tain Banov Mesech Hasud. Okay, this is going to get more closely halacha l'maisa. What's the halacha l'maisa over here? A person is given food to eat during or after the meal, and they're not machmas seuda. What means not machmas seuda? As we know, whenever a person washes, and then after that, for instance, a Friday night, right? You wash for Shabbos seuda, and then after that, you get the fish. Do you make a separate broch on the fish? Obviously no. Not. After you get the soup, do you make a broch on the soup? No. If you get after that some meat, chicken, whatever, fleisch, kugel, etc., do you make a separate broch on those? Or potatoes, do you make a separate broch on those? No. What happens when you come, however, to dessert? That's called kinuach seuda. Kinuach seuda means to go and clean out the palate. In other words, that's not really the seuda itself. Now that you've filled yourself up, and now you have to have something sweet at the end to go and make yourself, and that's why you'll take some chocolate, and some people will take a piece of cake, and some people will take some fruit compote, and what's compote? And some people take fresh fruit. All different types of desserts, but that's not really considered to be the essence of it. That's why by most chasanas today, or many chasanas today, they have a separate Viennese table. Why? Because you already finished the meal, the formal presentation is all over, and now everybody should have a chance to kind of enjoy themselves, and then, et cetera. Anyway, so the point is, what happens in the middle of the meal, you get Tainim Vanovim. It doesn't have to be Dafke at the end of the meal. Sometimes you have in the middle. They have something, what they call a mitzi something. What is it called? That's it's a mitzi, you know what I'm talking about?
Little ices.
Yeah, some ices that they give sometimes before.
Instead of soup sometimes.
Instead of soup, and they call it, they give some sort of ices. Intermezzi, exactly, intermezzo. Yeah, that's a fancy name. What's up here? Everything so far we're talking about before Birchas Hamazon. The question is, you have to make a separate drop. Says the Gemara, they brought in Te'enim figs, anovim are grapes, and they really, they don't fit in with the holy meal pattern. It's the Toicha Se'uda, but Lav Zavka, it could also be at the end of the Se'uda. If you look at the third Toicha from the top, the purpose of this wasn't that this is your main course. In other words, theoretically, maybe the person had no meat, and had no chicken, and had no kugel, and had no potatoes, nothing else. So he gives you now, as the main course, a whole bunch of fruits. You have a fruit plate. There's some people that go into restaurants, they order a fruit plate. So if that's the main course, and eating that, you washed, and that's your main, so then that's lafis is a pas. In other words, that's your seudah. In a case of seudah, then you wouldn't have to make a bracha, just like you don't have to make a bracha, a separate bracha, on the gefilte fish, on the soup, on the meat, because that's your main. Here, however, says Rashi, they're not for purposes of being kind of an additive to the bread. And the kinuach suda, go and get everything down, the dessert. Oh, kinuach suda is dessert. Fine. So you can have a dessert in the middle of the meal too. It doesn't have to be dafke at the end. You can have a dessert in the middle.
They're saying the dessert is not covered by the blessing on the bread.
It is not covered by the blessing on the bread. And therefore, says Yimar Omer Afuna, Te'unam Bracha Lefneim, you have to make a separate bracha before that dessert. But you don't have to make a bracha at the end. So, the more typical case, most people don't eat it in the middle of the meal, but the end of the meal. If after you finish the deflation and everything, and now they're giving for dessert some fruit, cut up fruit, you make your bari pre-eight, you make your bari pre-dum on the watermelon, etc. But at the end of that, you don't make a bari nefashis, you rely on the benching. You do make a separate new bracha, but you don't make a bracha at the end. However, Rav Sheshis respectfully disagrees. We do not paskin like Rav Sheshis, but Rav Sheshis Omar, to the bracha bein lefneim, bein liachareim, that if you are giving out a fruit dessert at the end, say you make a bayer pri'et, a bayer pri'dama before, and you have to make a bayer nefashis at the end. And if you're eating, for instance, a whole bunch of grapes, you're going to have to make ala eight. Ala peiros, you have to make the long like the ala mechia before birchas amos. She'ein lecha dovish she'toyim bracha lefana vein toyim bracha liachra. There's no such thing that you have a bracha before and you don't have a bracha afterwards. If you have a bracha before, you have a bracha afterwards. There's only one exception: of a pasta bar bekissen b'vat. Unless you're talking about pasta bar bekissen. What exactly pasta bar bekissen? This is a something which Not every cake is called pasta bar bekissen. Pasta bar bekissen is a very special thing. It's in fact a three-way machloikus exactly what pasta bar bekissen is. The simple pshat that is brought by many of the mefarshim is a pasta that has in it a pouch, a pocket, and inside that pouch they filled it up with all different types of pie. Exactly, you have a cherry pie feeling.
A jelly donut
might be an example. It might very well be. It might be a possible. It could be a jelly donut because it has an, I don't know if it's like a shrudel, anything like that, that you have a cake or pastry and you filled it with something in it. That has a kiss, it has a pouch, and you filled it. It's great for helping. I told you.
You're tying it in with the food stuff.
Yeah, and I also have to eat too much again, so you have to be careful. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what this is. Another pshat of Gisson means that it's a very thin wafer. Rashi has a totally different pshat here, Pasuk Gisson, that it's talking about a very, very small amount of pastry, but 95% of it was full of all different types of nuts and other delicacies. We take a quick look at the Rashi, Pasuk Gisson, halfway down the omelet. So Rashi, Pasuk Gisson. This case is talking about the person has already finished eating and he's already benched. Now, of course, it's different. Kisnin means like cloyus. Cloyus means toasted wheat kernels. Because those are good for the heart. If you have these toasted wheat kernels, that's good for the heart. You bring together with them tas. Pas over here means a pastry, shini loisha, that was kneaded in tavlin with all different types of spices, ki'en, the famous ublush shilvanu, those are the famous ublush types of pastries that we eat, says Rashi. V'yesha oisam, some of them make in community poem, fancy designs, like a bird, v'yvanu, some make them like a tree, v'oichon mehen davum, these are all the party planners, and that's how they get all their ideas, how to go and make these fancy, fancy, schmancy presentations. You only eat a little bit. Because you put in so much spice, the goizen, and different types of nuts, and shkedim, and almonds, and the amount of actual dough in this pasta bar is so small, like only 5%. At the end, you don't make an al hamichya, meaning to have the apas oides the doichin the amrin bepirkin, just like we had by the rice cakes that we had earlier on. That's the chili make a bar name is zaynis, but the psay for the klum means you don't make an al hamichya, but you make a bar the farsha is rabbi. So therefore,
let's go back to Gemara.
Yes, we're going back to Gemara right now.
No, what is the
chiddush according to where Rashi learns is that you don't bench on Pasuk Bava Kisnan, you don't make an Ala Michya on a Pasuk Bava Kisnan, but you go and make a Boyre Nefoshis on a Pasuk Bava
Kisnan.
So what do you say? That it doesn't. According to Rashi, it's talking about Achrasis. That's Rashi. You're saying what you're saying is gold, Reb David, so much so that that's how Toysis Taka learns. If you look at the Toysis Elapas above the Kisnan, you see that the. We're not going to go through the whole thing, don't be nervous. But if you look at the very beginning, it says that he brings from the Rashi that it's talking about after he already. Look, he skipped down 6-7 lines into the Toysis. Or Peter Shrashi, Afilim Ochel Mehen Acher Birchas Mazen Kamat. It's talking about at the benching. You see that with the Rashi? You see? But going here, the Torah says, I agree with Rav David, it's not mashma, chod yamin le'el, etc., etc. And therefore, al kochach, skip 3 lines, tzorech lefarish temayi b'toicha se'uda, koyidim birchas amazin. Is that what you were saying before? Rav David says, mamish like the Heilige Torah, that it's talking about he ate it before benching, temayi riba, v'achik omer, chutz v'na pasach, v'abik yisim, toicha se'uda, koyidim birchas amazin, before benching, zain ton bracha li'achrav, even according to Rav Sheshes that said on dessert you're supposed to make its own independent bracha. Here you don't have to mishum davar dover muat because it's such a small amount of pastry. It's so full of the shkedim, the tavlin, and all the other good things. It's good.
Level, if after having your meal you have a dessert, you're supposed to make a separate bracha on it. And there are some desserts that fall into the category that you have to make alamichia afterwards.
Sorry. On a practical level, as you say, like everything else, there are machlokes and among poskim. But what everybody agrees is that if your dessert is fruit, you would go and make a bari pri eitz and a bari pri dama, depending, of course, what you're eating. If you're eating pineapple, bari pri dama. If you're eating grapes or apples, you have to go on bari pri eitz. And after that, you do not make a bracha achrona, but you go straight to the benching after that. Like the two previous mandiyamim, like we had Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, but not like Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said you have to make a bracha achrona. No. As far as what the din is, lagabe cake and lagabe shahakot, apparently the halacha would be the same, that you should make a bracha of Meir Ben Zainis on the cake, and a shahakot if you're eating ice cream or chocolates, whatever. However, there are different minhagim when it comes to things like that. For instance, there are many, many people that do not make a bracha rishona on a shahakal at the end of, even though that's your dessert. If it happens to be ice cream or it happens to be chocolates and all the rest, many people do not make the shahakal, but they consider that to be part of the meal, and then they go and bench after that.
Why does any of this fall off as being part of the meal?
Oh, so we're going to talk about that in the next moment. That's a very good segue to next Shtekel Gemara. But anyway, but our Gemara is telling us at this point, a three-way machloikis, we had Rav Huna and Rav Nachman that both say that by desserts you make a bracha before, but you don't make a bracha afterwards. Rav Sheshes says, toim bracha, bein lefnei, bein l'achrev, you do have to make a bracha afterwards. She'ein l'chadav she'toim bracha, ve'ein toim bracha le'achrev. Where do we ever find something like that? You don't have a bracha le'achrev, and the pasta bo b'kisnei l'chad, which according to Rashi is talking about after the meal is over, and when he says ein toim bracha means you don't make an ala peiroi, or you don't make an ala michya, but you just make a boirei nefashois, and toises. And Reb David both learned that it's talking about as part of the meal, as part of the dessert, and that's what the Gemara is telling us is, that if you have the pasta bo b'kisnan at the end, you don't make an ala michya, you don't make a boirei nefashois, you just rely on the benching. Oh, pliya nebchia, the yom rebchia, pas b'teres kol mina machel. Rebchia holds like Reb Daniel, the pas passes everything that you eat in the meal, everything from top to bottom, including your desserts, including your pastries, your Napoleon, your fruit pie, everything, your eclair, everything is passed through the pot. The yayin, as well as if you drank wine, points to komin and mashkin, you don't have to make a bracha afterwards on Coca-Cola, you don't have to make a bracha on any other drinks, yayin passes everything. So what's the halacha? Dvarim boy machmas has tu'uda betoich has. What's the definition of boy machmas tu'uda betoich has tu'uda? Anything which is lelafes es a pas. Lelafes means as a relish for pas. Now, in the good old days, when people were not as affluent as they are today, they would go and eat bread throughout the meal because bread was cheaper than your gefilte fish and your soup and your meat. So you fill yourself, that was the filling, exactly. So you filled yourself up on the bread and to the bread, you had a shekel gefilte fish, a shekel chicken, a shekel fish, a shekel that, I remember when I was in Beit Yankif as a bucher, our Mashgiach Rav Volbe told us that unfortunately many of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were not wealthy. They had very modest incomes. But he said among the Talmidim, the Yemenites, unfortunately, are the poorest of the poor. And he said that some of the Yemenite Talmidim in the yeshiva, they only get basar, they only get meat once a week, where the father buys a salami lekuvid Shabbos, and then he goes and cuts the thinnest slice for all of the children. Everybody gets one slice of salami, and that's the entire meat for the week. If any salami is left over, then it's a treat. They'll have Matzah Shabbos on Sunday, but no more meat until the next week. So in other words, people, you had taken the salami, but that was not a major meat meal. That was lafis and sepas. All came secondary to the pas. So anything which is secondary to the pas, by definition, has your yoytze with the hamoytze. So even though today, we, Baruch Hashem, we have more funds, and therefore most people don't just keep on eating the bread and the challah, the entire meal. But nevertheless, anything which is essential meal is considered to be secondary to the pas. You don't have to make a separate bracha. And therefore, ain't to the bracha. However, things which are not machmas suda, that's kinuach suda, like the desserts, which are not considered to be part and parcel of the meal. If you're eating betoicha suda, tu'unim bracha lefneim, then tu'unim bracha liachrem. Then you do make a bracha before, because it's not considered to be meal, it's considered to be extraneous to the meal. Make a separate bracha, but don't make a bracha afterwards. Well, achas suda, if it's already after the suda, then what means the achas suda over here? So now it gets into complications with the Rashi and the Tosfos that we had before. Does Achas Suda mean still in the middle of the meal before benching, or does it mean after benching? It's to una bracha bein lefnei bein achrei, then you have both a bracha before and you have a bracha afterwards. This again, Lechayit is talking about after the benching is over. In such a case, you would make separate bracha before and after.
What's the case,
oh, so if you're going to learn that it's talking about before benching, and it's in bracha bein lefnei bein achrei, that comes to tell you the din of Reb Sheshes. So Reb Sheshes says that even though you're going to bench in a moment, you have to have a separate bracha afterwards as well. And if it's talking about after the seuda, when it's saying that you have to bracha achareim, that means that you'd have to go and make the burn the alamichya if you're eating cake, or you'd have to go make an alapeiros as opposed to just making a boira in the first Shabbos. Anyway, the Tosfos talks about this as well down below. Look, yes.
I don't understand though, because everyone sits down at the table, everyone gets together, they wash, they
eat everything,
everyone together, and all of a sudden, just by having dessert, it becomes like a separate item.
The reason, because it's not considered to be part of the meal. That's why, and you when you have the yachasinus, you go to the Viennese table,
right.
Why don't they go and serve me? Why do I have to schlep into the other room? It's not part of the meal.
Sorry.
That's called kinuach suda. It's called not lelatis esapas. Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah, they want to be able to charge more money. They want also they want to charge more money.
Right.
Yes, but okay, Rabbi Nuri.
So I'm just trying to tell you, it seems like the dessert has like a double identity. On one hand, it's not lelatis esapas, and it's for me the bracha. But on the other hand, you make the first hamazon. It's like the toka suda. So it's how does Birch HaMazon cover something which is not?
So the way Tosfos learns this shtickle over here, it's talking about where the person has already decided that he's going to bench, and he's put away the pot. He put it on the side, he says, okay, we're done. And then someone says, oh, by the way, we have some delicious pastries. Oh, but I already made a decision, I finished my meal. So then you have to make a special bracha, both the funav and the achrat. Tosfos says that this is not so appropriate today, because today we never make that statement, take away the bread, we're done. You can go and eat bread until the very last moment. However, some say that this halacha would still apply in a case where, for instance, you've all washed my machrayim, we're about to bench, and then the balabusa says, oh, we forgot something, I'm going to bring us a new happy birthday cake. Uh-huh. And then some say that in that situation, you have to make a bracha lefan of uli achrab, even though you're going to bench afterwards, because it's no longer part of the meal. Everybody announced, we're washing our hands, we're about to bench. Person about to pick up. No, one sec, we got the birthday cakes. And you'd have to make a bracha of nil achrab. Again, bottom line is, go and ask your competent Orthodox rabbi for all practical type. Shalwas then joined the five lines at the end of the book. That name ma omid von ma boy macha suda besoicha suda. Einen sumu bracha, leidat nil achrab. What's the reason why? Meaning that's the essential core part of the meal, the fish and the soup and the meat. Why ain't him soon a bracha? Why don't you have to make a bracha before and after? It's because when you ate the bread, the bread passes it off. How come when I drink wine in the middle of the meal, I have to make a special bracha? This is very, very important. People don't know this. They go and make, for instance, Kiddush Shabbos morning on schnapps, and then they go and wash, and then somebody offers them wine. They work. I wash it, and then I'm waiting. You still have to make a new bracha on Beit Prigovin. It's only if you made a Beit Prigovin on Kiddush before washing that you don't have to make a new Beit Prigovin. But if you didn't make one, you have to make one. See, that's why. Just like the pas goes and passes all of the other food items, why does the pas alter the wine? Yain is special because it has its own special choshev bracha Beit Prigovin, and therefore the pas does not patter the wine. Now the Gemara tells us very briefly, Rav Huna ochel tleiser rifti b'nei tlosa b'kata. Rav Huna apparently was quite hungry, and he ate 13 rolls of pas haba'ah b'kisna that we spoke about before. 13 of them. And they were relatively large, tlosa b'kata. So they baruch, and he didn't make at the end he didn't bench, but rather all he did was make an ala mechia. It's only Rav Nachman. Adi kafna. You're talking about a person who seems to be famished. You're really hungry. 13 of them. You didn't just eat one or two rolls. 13 rolls. Anybody else eating 13, that would be the whole meal. You don't eat any more than that. 13 rolls. Sarah Klebark, you'd have to go on bench or something like that. Have a wonderful day.